turn to the book of Ezekiel. And I'm going to give you a little bit of time to find that because it may not be as familiar of a book, but the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 22. And let's look there this morning together in our scripture. And this morning we conclude our current series, Enemies of the Home. And the next Sunday, we begin a brand new series entitled, When You Just Can't Get Over It. And I believe in your bulletin this morning, there is a postcard about this series. So next Sunday is the anniversary Sunday of the church. We're going to be right in here at 10 o'clock. We're going to have a great time around God's Word. I want to encourage all of you to be here. And then I want you to do two things. One, look around the room. Who do you usually see on a Sunday who's not here today? And maybe this week you reach out to them and say, hey, I missed you. I want to encourage you to come this Sunday. We're starting the brand new series, When You Just Can't Get Over It. And then as you read this postcard and you're familiar with what we're going to do, maybe look for someone this week that you could give this to and invite them to come. It might be a neighbor. It might be a coworker. It might be a friend. It might be someone that you are encouraging that maybe is dealing with some of these issues that you could say, why don't you come and be here with us? And I think this would be a great encouragement. One of the great things about Arnulfo and Brittany's story is Grant and Jamie Yentis, who've been in our class for about a month. They were baptized here on Baptism Sunday on May the 7th when we did it out there in the pool. And so they have been coming for a short time, and they have been encouraging others as well to be here and to be attendants. And Matt back here in Montserrat, is that right? And so I visited them Friday in their home, and I was talking to them, and they came to our class last Sunday for the first time. I said, hey, how'd you hear about the class? And they said, Jamie told us we got to go to this class. And I said, that's great, because Jamie's only been coming for a short time. Arnulfo and Brittany heard about it through Lisa and Harold. So it's great to see new people who are letting new people know about what God is doing. That's what it's all about indeed. And so let's take advantage of that opportunity going into the new series next Sunday, When You Just Can't Get Over It. Ezekiel chapter number 22, as we conclude our series this morning on enemies of the home. And we're going to talk about making up the hedge. Making up the hedge. Now, for the sake of time, Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, if you would look there, the Bible says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, we come to a moment in the life and ministry of the prophet Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel had been given the task by God to tell the people of God of that generation that God was going to judge them for their sin. They were committing gross immorality. They were committing injustices. They were defying God and living in rebellion openly. And God had given grace. God had given time. God had given long-suffering. And now God sent a prophet, a preacher. And God said, Ezekiel, I want you to tell the people, shape up or else. It's amazing in our generation that you can go to certain churches for a long time and never understand the fact that God has a correction side. We often like to talk about the fact that God is love and God is long-suffering and God is grace and God is mercy. And thank God, God is all those things because I need them every day. But you know, in addition to that, God is righteous. God is just and God is holy. And God has an expectation that as we become His children and we get to know Him, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And people begin to become new in the Lord, and their lives begin to change, and they begin to be more like Christ. Well, this wasn't happening in the day of Ezekiel. God had given time, and now God was giving the people a line in the sand, if you will. Either you need to obey, or correction will come. And Ezekiel was coming into that day, and he was preaching that message, and he was saying, God is looking for people who will obey and do right, and God can't find any. Now, I think as you look at America today, certainly we are in need of revival. As a country, we have many people living in opposition to God's plan and God's way. And I think that a preacher today could say, where are the people that will stand in the gap? Where are the people that will live as God would have them to live? It may not be popular in 2017. It may not be being lived by everybody. It may not be the trend, but it is right. Where are the people that will do that? And I believe this class represents a heartbeat that says, Lord, we're not perfect. We got a long way to go, but we want to please and honor you in our life and in our home. We want to stand in that gap. We want to make up the hedge, as it were, in our home. Now, when we think of this, here in Ezekiel's time, the Bible says through the prophet Ezekiel that he was seeking somebody. And I believe as you look at American culture and our generation today, indeed, God is seeking someone today as well. And I believe that God is seeking you and God is seeking me. We can talk all day long about the problems in our country and in the world, and it would take about the whole day to cover it, I'm sure. But God says, hey, you're the solution. We can talk about how bad things have gotten, but if we want to reverse that trend, if we want to see things going in the direction that they should, it all starts with us. And God indeed is seeking you and I this morning. God desires for you and I to stand in that gap and to make up the hedge, to make up the wall of protection, as it were, for our own life and for our own home. And God says, I can use you to make a difference in your generation and in your home. And that's what he was looking for here as the city of Jerusalem was in dire straits. And it wasn't just physical walls and gates that were no longer fortified. Ezekiel was speaking of a time spiritually for the city of Jerusalem that they were not living as God would have them to live. And I believe as God looks at our time and our generation, certainly the same case could be made that if we're going to have a defense, we're not just talking about a missile system of some kind. We're not talking about, our military and the increase in budget and all of the technology that we're investing in that area. And boy, we're safe in America. Listen, a child of God knows we can have all of that and not be safe. The greatest defense for a country is for that country to be righteous. Notice this in your notes in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. What's going to exalt the United States of America? What is going to bring protection to our homes? It is living righteously before God. And God challenges you and I that if we're going to do that, we've got to know Him and we've got to know His Word, because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So Ezekiel was talking about these gaps, these areas of weakness. And he wasn't talking about this particular section of wall in Jerusalem where the mortar is thin. Well, we got to fortify it. He wasn't talking about that. Ezekiel was talking about, we got some gaps. We got some moral issues. We got some social issues. We're way off what God intended. We got to shore those up. And I believe as we look at our homes, as we've been studying this series, Enemies of the Home, this morning, I want you and I to look at this chapter and to glean from it six gaps, six areas of weakness as it pertains to the home and what we can do to make up that hedge, to fill that gap and to protect our home against the attack of the wicked one. Now, what gaps are we talking about? Number one, the gap of casting God out. Casting God out. Now, notice this in your notes in Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 4. Thou art become guilty in thy blood that thou hast shed, and hast defiled thyself in thine idols which thou hast made, and thou hast caused thy days to draw near and are come even unto the years. Therefore have I made thee a reproach unto the heathen and a mocking to all the countries. Ezekiel said, one of the problems you're having is the idols. You're involved in idol worship. Instead of God getting what's due Him, you're diverting that to other gods and other man-made objects in which you are worshiping. And there was heathen worshiping happening in this time in history and in culture. And they were bowing down to images and objects made of wood and of stone. And they were worshiping these idols. And God was using Ezekiel to challenge them to turn away from defiling themselves with the worship of these idols. Now, we may not have, and although we have some in America where that would be happening, but we have a lot more in America where people are worshiping an idol. It may not be made of wood or stone, but it is something that has taken God's place. And the Bible teaches you and I that anything in the place of God and our life has become an idol. It could be our job. It could be our hobby. It could be our home. It could be our desire to have everything set up for our future. It could be any number of these things. If it's taken the place of God in our life, it indeed has become an idol. For some, it's their anger. It's their resentment. It's their pride. It's their bitterness. It has become an idol in their life. For some, it's laziness. It has become the idol of their life. It is all about me. It's all about convenience. It's all about comfort. And God no longer has his rightful place. And the Bible says in Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God teaches you and I, Christ is to have the preeminence. He's to be number one. So let's ask ourselves this morning, is Jesus Christ the first and foremost thing in our home? Let's just be honest and ask the question. Satan doesn't want any marriage in this room to make it. Satan doesn't want any child to turn out right. Satan doesn't want peace in your home. Is there a gap of idolatry? Has there been the casting God out? Has it been that, yes, we need help, and yes, we're under attack, and yes, we need victory, but it hasn't been going to God? God is not the center of our life personally. God is not the center of our marriage collectively. God is not the center of our home in this way. And we might be pursuing lots of other things for remedy when indeed we need to be pursuing God. God was challenging them through the prophet Ezekiel to seek God. And may you and I be challenged the same way. If we're going to have victory in our home, we must seek God first. But then he said, secondly, about the gap of condescending holy things. He said, I see the casting of God out, but then I see a condescending of holy things. Notice this in verse number 8. Thou hast despised mine holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths. God through Ezekiel said to the people, you've taken that which is sacred and you've cast it down. It's not holy. It's not sacred. It's not special anymore. And then he gives a specific of the Sabbath day being profaned. Now, the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, of which we read, was Saturday. Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, and rose again from the dead. When Jesus Christ did that, he abolished the law and the traditional sense, if you will. And now we no longer will achieve an eternal home in heaven by measuring up to the law, because we can't do that. It's our schoolmaster. We are found guilty. But we can be assured of an eternal home in heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, by placing our faith and trust in Him. And so, when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, the New Testament church assembled together on Sunday, the first day of the week. Why was this? It was a weekly reminder and celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And just as was established in the first century, so it is carried out today, that we meet on Sunday, the first day of the week, and we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and we desire a personal, growing relationship with Him. That's the whole idea of Sundays. Now, you don't have to look very long ago in American history when everybody went to church on Sunday, where nothing was open on Sunday. Nothing happened on Sunday. Because Sunday was God's day. It was a day of rest. It was a day of going to church. It was a day of thinking of spiritual things. Now, think about life in 2017. I got a whole list of people in our class we're praying for when we get Sundays off. Everything is open on Sunday. All the sales are on Sunday. Overtime is often on Sunday. You step back and look at where we have gone, it's amazing how much energy, how much effort there is in getting people doing anything but church on Sunday. Why is that? Who benefits from that? Can I submit to you, class? We don't. There's no benefit in it for me if I'm not in church. I'm losing. I'm hurting. And the longer I'm not there, the more that I'm hurting. This trend in our culture and our society today is not for the spiritual well-being of the citizens of America and for the strength of our families. There's another thing at play here, and we've got to be reminded, hey, we've got to uphold holy things. We've got to uphold God's day, and we need to be in God's house. For every Sunday I have been here in our His Design class, we have had a bulletin, and now it's one page, so it's really hard to even find. But when you find it, on the front, it says, 3 to Thrive. And it says Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's been on this bulletin every Sunday I've been a part of this class, and probably before. Why? Because it is so important that we are faithfully in God's house. You say, now, Brother Rule, why is that? Most churches, they just have church like once a week. So, why would we be encouraged to come Sunday morning and then Sunday night and then back on Wednesday night? I mean, are we just kind of slower than the average person? And that's probably part of it for me. But the reason that we have been encouraged to be in church as much as we can is, number one, that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that as you sense the coming of the Lord and His return, which, by the way, the Lord could come back right now. There's a lot of bills I would rather not pay. So if He did, that would be fine with me, all right? He could come back right now if He wanted to. And what a blessing indeed that would be. He could come back at any moment. And the Bible says when you sense the Lord's return to be soon, you want to be in the house of God more and more. Now, listen. At Lancaster Baptist Church and in the His Design class, we have a desire to invest in the lives of people and to see them grow spiritually. And what we have learned is somebody who goes to church 1 hour a week and the 167 other hours in the week they're living in the world, it's very unlikely they are going to develop into a committed follower of Jesus Christ. We have learned it takes a little more than that. You take anything you want to be great at. I want to be the best at this in my workplace. Do that 1 hour a week and that's it. See how that goes. Probably not going to happen. I want to be the healthiest I can be, and I'm going to focus on it 1 hour a week. And the other 167, man, it's National Donut Day. Here we go. It's probably not going to happen. It's going to take more than that, and that's what we're talking about spiritually. Boy, holding to the holy things, honoring the Lord's Day, being in church, 3 to Thrive. You say, Brother Rule, we're going into this summer. I know, and my passionate prayer for His Design class is not that we would have a summer slump, but that we would have a summer jump, and that we would see in June and July and in August faithfulness to the Word of God. Faithfulness to living for God, encouraging others to live for God, people bringing guests with them. This is somebody I met this week, and I think they could benefit from the preaching and teaching the Word of God, and now they're here with me. That's what we're praying for all summer long. And when we think about holding those holy things, certainly we must think about ourselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own." But we want to make sure that we are honoring God in our body. We want to make sure that we are honoring God in holding holy things. We want to make sure that we're honoring God in faithfulness to church and faithfulness to His Word. We want to make sure that we're shoring up the gap of condescending the holy things. But then thirdly, Ezekiel pointed out the gap of committing lewdness. Committing lewdness. Verse 9. "In thee are men that carry tails to shed blood, and in thee that eat up upon the mountains. In the midst of thee they commit lewdness." Now what was Ezekiel talking about here in the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel to these people? Well, lewdness carries the idea of sensual sin. He was talking about indecency, immorality, immodesty, a horrible brazenness as it came to sins of the flesh, if you will. And God, through Ezekiel, was challenging His people, close the gap, build the hedge when it comes to lewdness and sin. Now, God got very pointed oftentimes in His Word. God did not mince adjectives. God went right to the heart of a matter. And for this culture and these people at this time, God was confronting them with the sin of their day. There are a lot of churches you can go to and have a rock band for 30 or 45 minutes and have a devotional that tickles your ear and you can leave and you can feel really good about who you are. But I just want all of us to be aware this morning, that's not necessarily in its totality church. Do you know that sometimes I'm going to go to church and I'm going to leave and I'm not going to feel good? And that's not the church's fault. That's what we believe in 2017. I went to that church and I left there and I didn't feel good. How dare they? I'm never going back there again. I can't believe they made me feel that way. Well, it could just be the way I was living. It could be that I went to church and then I heard from God. And I heard truth. And I was confronted with that in my life and I went, oh boy, oh me. And God started speaking to me. And on the inside, I started feeling uncomfortable. And I started feeling like, you know what, I might need to change. And that's exactly what your flesh is going to say. Man, you don't need to change. You go find a different church. You go do something else. You're doing great. You know what? Sometimes Gabe isn't doing great. And sometimes I need to change. And sometimes it's being confronted by the Word of God and thinking through and saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not where I need to be in this area. And I need to make an adjustment indeed. And that's what God is challenging these people through the prophet Ezekiel in this day, that they would not commit lewdness. Now listen, in the United States of America today, there is lewd acts all around us. It's sad where we are in our country today. It's very sad, morally. We're not where God wants us to be. I'm not happy about it. As for me and my house, we intend to serve the Lord. But as long as God gives me breath, I hope that you and I can encourage one another to do that. And I hope that we can encourage one another that, you know what, it's summertime and the rest of the world might be taking off all their clothes and involved in this and involved in that and doing this and doing that. But you know what, in our homes, because they are God's homes, and because we are children of God, and because God teaches us in His Word how we are to conduct ourselves, we're going to make sure we're guarding our lives and our families from being involved in any lewd activity. Nothing sensually out of bounds for the Lord. Nothing indecent. Nothing immodest. Nothing brazen against the Lord. We want to make sure that our lives and the way we live them do one thing, and that is point people's attention to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, is our life pointing people to Christ. Can I challenge all of us this morning? And I'm challenging me and you. Let's keep our homes pure. Let's keep our homes pure. Every dad underneath the sound of my voice this summer, you fight to keep your home pure. You be the gatekeeper of that home. I read a proverb a day, every day of my life. And this morning I read Proverbs 4, and verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And God spoke to me this morning. He said, Rule, you better watch the gate of your home. You are the gatekeeper. You're going to give an account for this home someday. You better make sure what's happening here is right, is honoring. And I had to go talk to my wife. But no, I'm teasing. It wasn't her. It was me, all right? We must keep our homes pure. Number four, he talked about the gap of craving money. Verse 12. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Hast thou taken usury and increase? And thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. God said, listen, you're making money all the wrong way, and then you're not even honoring God in your stewardship. Now, God is very concerned that we're honoring Him in our stewardships, because it's an indication of the heart. Notice it in your notes in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God says in Malachi 3, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. God says, you're not giving to me what is rightfully mine. What is rightfully His? Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God says, you're to honor me with the tithe of your first fruits. If I made $100 this week, I'm to give $10 to the Lord today. Why? Because God needs my 10 bucks? No! Because I need God. God doesn't need my $10, my $100, my $1,000, whatever your gift is. God doesn't need that. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the wealth of every mine. But I need the blessing of the Lord. And I need the weekly reminder as I honor the Lord in my stewardship and I give. That everything that God has allowed me to earn through work is a gift that He has given to me. The breath to breathe, the ability, the mind to reason, that's all a gift from the Lord. And when I give back to Him, I am reminded, Lord, this is yours. It is not mine. So may this be used to further your work. And with what I have left, would you bless it and help me to provide for my family? And God promises He will provide. And can I tell you something? You say, well, you're teaching this because if our class gives more, then you get a bonus. That's not true. I wish it were. No, I'm teasing. It's not true. It's not true. I promise you that. I don't even know if our class gives. But I hope that we do. And that's a passion that I have. Why? Because I'm not talking to you about as a salesman. I'm talking to you this morning as a satisfied customer. I was taught early in life to give to the Lord. And this has been a habit of my life. And I'm thankful for my Christian home. I really am. Some of you, you're developing that first generation. Some of you have had that like I have. But I'm thankful. And I can testify right now at this stage of my life, God's been good. God's been good. As a family, we took a walk the other night and we talked about what we've had the privilege to do in the last 12 months. And honestly, it was embarrassing. It was more than we ever should have done. God's just been good. And I think one of the big reasons for that is we've tried to honor Him. And we've tried to be faithful in our stewardship. And God, through Ezekiel, said, shore up that gap. Be careful about it. It's all about money. And be careful robbing from God. You want to protect your home, you need God protecting your home. You want God's blessing in your home, honor Him. Certainly in the area of our stewardship. Number five, being careless about God. He said, shore up that gap of being careless about God. In verse number 12, at the latter part of the verse, he says, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion. We saw this. And hast forgotten me, saith the Lord God. God said, listen, you're earning money the wrong way. You're not honoring me in your stewardship. In fact, in your whole life, you've just forgotten me. You're so busy in all that you have going, we don't have time together. Isn't it sad to say that that's exactly the American home today? We're busier than we've ever been. I mean, we need books, training, and therapy for how busy we are. It's crazy. And yet, often, we don't have time for God. We don't have time to get into this book every day and just read. We don't have time to get a list of things and down on a bended knee and just pray. We don't have time to call Jim and Sally over and sit down as a family and read God's Word. We don't have time before dinner to pause and say, let's all hold hands and pray and ask God to bless this and thank Him for it. We don't have time to say, sweetheart, before we go to bed, let me hold you and let's pray together. We don't have time in the morning to gather the family and say, let's pray before we go about our day. We don't have time for stuff like that. And neither do they. And God said, Ezekiel, tell them about that. Tell them one of the reasons judgment's coming is because they flat forgot me. I think you could write on the tombstone of the United States of America, thou hast forgotten me, saith the Lord. America is a country that was founded on biblical Christian liberty. Amen. The reason we have this country is because we wanted, without restraint, to worship God. Because we wanted to walk with Him. Does it not sadden your heart in the least to think in 2017 most people don't even know who God is in America? That the fastest growing religion group in America is the knowns? The people with no religious affiliation of all? Do you stop to think about, I have children, many of you have children, if God tarries His coming, what's America going to look like in 10, 15, 20 years? It sure changed a lot in my short lifetime. What's it going to be like in the future? And when I start thinking about that, it starts in the bottom of my feet and it goes to the top of my head and I just want to do something about it. And I want to realign the priorities of my life and I want to tell God, I'm sorry, I'm not too busy. You say, I don't know where I'd find time. Unplug the television. I don't know where I'd find time. Disconnect the internet. I don't know where I'd find time. Disconnect the memberships. I guarantee you, if we aligned our lives according to biblical priorities, we'd have time. We'd have time. God said, I'm calling you back to spending time with me. And then number six, as we close, he says, you've got to shore up the gap of being controlled by the false prophets. In verse 25 and 26, he says, there's a conspiracy of the prophets in the midst of, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured the souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. They have made their own widows in the midst thereof. And we'll read that for sake of time. But God says, listen, I want you to challenge them. Shore up this gap of this false teaching. Now listen, in America, we have a plethora of false teaching available today. You say, Brother Rule, what is false teaching and who are you to say what is truth and what is right? I'm nobody, but the Word of God should have authority. And false teaching and preaching is anything that anybody would say that contradicts the Word of God. May you and I say, this book has authority in my life. Amen. It has authority in my marriage. It has authority in my home. The newer believers that we're discipling and assimilating right now, you know what we're encouraging them on a weekly and daily basis to do? To go to God and say, God, what do you want? Yes, sir, I'll do it. And then as they read and they study and they say, uh-oh. Now God says, don't do that. And I do it. And we've been encouraging them, then just stop doing that. And God will bless you for it. And if you'll develop a pattern of when God says yes, it's yes, sir. And when God says no, it's yes, sir, I'll stop. And when we have that kind of response to truth, God says you're on the right track. But you know what gets many of us sidetracked? When we start listening to human philosophy and this teaching and that teaching, and it has nothing to do with the precious and fallible Word of God, but it has everything to do with making us feel better. God says, be careful. In your home, shore up that gap. Now, for sake of time, we're going to conclude. God was seeking for a man that was willing to stand in the gap and say, we've got to stop disobeying, and we've got to live right. And I want you and I to feel that challenge this morning as husbands, wives, fathers, mothers. Where do we need to say, Lord, I'll stand in that gap. There's something in my life. There's something in my home. God brought it to my attention this morning. It's got to change. And with God's help, I'm already saying, I'm going to do that. With anybody in this room that would raise their hand with me and say, Brother Rule, God spoke to me this morning. There's something I need to do. You pray for me that I'll do it. Would you just raise your hand wherever you are? I don't usually do this, but this morning I feel led to do it. And I love you, and I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for our class, how I love our class. And I love you, and I love your word. And I pray that this would be an environment where we are encouraging one another. Let's do right. Let's honor God. Let's please Him. Boy, let's shore that up. And God, as many of us have raised our hand in need of you this morning, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to see where our home is weak. Help us to recognize we need help. And help us to be willing to say, God, help us to shore this area up. We want to honor you in our home and our relationship. We want our marriage and our family to bring you honor and glory. May we not give the enemy victory because we left a gaping hole, but may we shore that up and protect the home that you've given to us. God, I pray your blessing on the homes represented in this room. I pray your special protection. And I pray that you would bless every effort to fill in those gaps and to please and honor you. Bless our class this week as we serve and live for you. Bring us back safely next week together is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.